So it's pretty interesting in the time that we're living in, where it seemed like, man, things morality-wise are just going off a steep, steep, steep cliff. And then all of a sudden now we see just kind of this resurgence of faith, in our country at least. And we see people turning to the Lord who maybe have not entered a church building for decades or ever in their life. And we're seeing so many people just really having their hearts open to, you know, I want to see if the truth of the word is real. I want to see if this whole thing about God is what people say it is. And so we have people who are willing to entertain these ideas who maybe were closed off to it before. And yet, when we see things like that, often the enemy of our souls, the prince of the power of the air, will kind of perk up and say, oh, okay, yeah, you want to be directed toward faith? Just come to this faith over here. Instead of the true faith, instead of actually seeking Jesus in the word of truth, the enemy will try and steer us towards some other gospel, which we know is not a gospel at all. And so really the thing about being deceived is that if you are deceived, you don't actually know that you're deceived. That's kind of the definition of being deceived, is that you think you're right. And you're like, no, I would stake my life on this. I know that I'm right. And in addition to that, most of the time, you don't realize that you've been deceived until it's too late. I don't know about you guys, if you've had any of those eye-opening moments where you just realize that you've been deceived. I had a time many years ago, I was trying to buy a car in Hayden, and man, I was just convinced that this guy was the most honest man I had ever dealt with, and his wife was just so sweet, and my goodness. And then I bring the car home and the transmission is out within, you know, the first day or two. And so I call the guy, and he says, you know, I'm really sorry that happened. I mean, here, tell you what I'll do. We can get this into a shop and I'll pay for half of it. And I'm a 19-year-old and going, okay, you know, just I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. And so we take it to the shop, and then they've got it for a week or so, brand new transmission. I was like, okay, if this guy's going to pay for half that, at least it's acceptable. It's not ideal, but it's acceptable. And so I go to pick up the car, and they give me the price. I'm like, wait a minute, it's supposed to be half that much. I was like, what about, you know, and thankfully I don't even remember this guy's name. And so it's like, I can't trash his name because I don't even know it. But not that I would want to. I've prayed for God to bless him over the years. But but the guy at the shop is like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm like, oh no. Like, I just realized, and then I go to his shop. He had cleared everything out. He was gone. He left town. It's just like, as a 19-year-old, that was a really hard lesson to learn of, you know, just being a little more wise in trusting people. But, you know, when you're deceived, you really don't know it. And then all of a sudden you realize. And now, maybe more than any time in history, we have to be on guard from deception. I mean, from the news we're fed, to the people trying to sell us things. Anybody else seen a resurgence in door-to-door salesmen? Like, our neighborhood is crazy for it. I get door-to-door salesmen all the time. And, you know, they're not, they always act like they're your best friend and like, I just want to help you in life. And you're like, no, you don't. Don't give me, you want to pad your pocket. Don't give me that. You know, to scams and frauds. How many of you guys have gotten a text like, oh, you owe the IRS money and all this stuff? I'm like, well, that's probably true, but you're not the IRS. So I don't have to believe that. But there's just lies being thrown at us every single day. And we're also seeing a ton of misdirection, of trickery and deception in the spiritual realm. The enemy is trying to get our sights on people so that we think that they're the real enemy, but it's really the puppet master behind it that's the real enemy. I don't know how many of you guys saw any of the chaos and just craziness of this past weekend of you know, just the protests that are going on and everything. And the enemy really wants us to set our sights on those people. Like, they're my enemy. I need to take them out. And that's not the truth at all. It's the spirit behind the works that they're doing. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says, "For although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh." In translation of that, we are not in a war with people. "Since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds, we demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ." So the good news is that God has given us a way to wade through all this confusion, deception, all this smoke screen. He has given us his Holy Spirit. And in our last study in 1 John, the last line that we read said, "And the way that we know he remains in us is from the Spirit that he has given to us." So as we continue on through this letter, he tells us about how to guard ourselves from deception. So let's read in chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, even now is already in the world." So again, closes chapter 3 with saying, you know, we know that we abide in him by the spirit that he has given to us. And then he follows it right up with saying, "Do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see if they are from God." So he starts with this warning from us that we wouldn't blindly receive everything that's stamped as the Spirit of God as if it was actually from him. Yes, there are many people trying to deceive us in order to get our money or our allegiance or whatever it is, but it's far more dangerous to be deceived by a spirit than it is to be tricked by a person. And when it comes to teaching and doctrine and who we trust, we are encouraged, if not commanded, to examine the credibility and the truth of what someone is saying, whether that's just a person in a pulpit or if it's a sense or a spirit that you're hearing supernaturally. We have to test these things by the word of God. And, you know, it's vulnerable being up here as a minister where I invite people to critique what I'm saying, the truth, and measure it up against the truth of God, because I'm not up here just touting my preferences for what I think should be done with the world. Nobody needs that. My opinion matters zero in eternity. What matters is the truth of God. And so as a pastor, I should be not just inviting you guys to examine it, but encouraging you and, you know, more or less commanding you by the word. Check into it. Make sure that it's truth. Don't just take it because I said it. And the same thing with Pastor Corey. He feels the exact same way. He doesn't want anyone to believe Corey's opinions on the world, because believe me, if you get to know him really well, he has lots of opinions on the world, unlike most of us, right? You know, we've all got our opinions, but he never wants to be up here just sharing his opinions with all of us. It's about the truth of the word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 20 to 22 says, "Don't despise prophecies." So we should be open to hearing a word of God, or a word from God through another person or through the Holy Spirit speaking to us. We should be open to these prophecies. However, we are to test all things. So we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater as far as, you know, there's a lot of deceiving spirits out there trying to trick you and to lead you into deception and false doctrine and things like that. So, all right, so we don't receive any prophecies ever. That's not the solution. 1 Thessalonians tells us, don't despise the prophecies, but test them. Test all things, in fact. hold on to what is good and stay away from every kind of evil. So first, from the teachings and doctrines of men, there's many people out there who just drop the name of Jesus, or more often than not, just talk about God in general terms. And it can be tempting to embrace them as a teacher or a brother when you hear a few things that sound good. But we can't go just based on a few things. We have to examine the foundation. We have to examine the doctrine. Because there's many people that you dig a little further and you realize that there's doctrines that lead to very dangerous places. So it's essential to know which foundation the pastors, podcasters, radio hosts, athletes, movie stars, musicians, et cetera, we have to know what foundation they stand upon. In fact, just recently there was a football player that I saw who was wearing a, I don't remember what the shirt said, but it seemed to be spiritual. It seemed to be, you know, something about honoring God or something like that. And I'm like, oh, that guy's a Christian. And then I hear an interview with him, and I go, oh, that guy's not a Christian. Never mind. I was deceived by the shirt. So we can't just blindly accept something just because, oh, this guy's a Christian, and we just received that. And granted, there are some times where you can eat the meat and spit out the bones. There's teachers out there who have non-essential doctrines that don't line up with the word of truth, that yeah, you can eat the meat. Oh, it's good meat. Oh, yep, there's a bone. We're gonna pull it out and we're gonna get rid of that. And we're not gonna be, you know, led astray by that or anything like that. We're gonna be perfectly fine. However, false doctrine is a poison that's injected into meat. And so if there's a teacher out there who is spreading false doctrine, you don't eat that at all. You throw it away completely, and you don't listen to it. You don't pay attention to it. You don't give any weight to it in your life. And so we have to be careful about that. And so second part of this is the influence or communication of either spiritual experience or a spirit speaking to us. And we have to remember that there's many spirits out there. And there are many whose sole purpose is to deceive you and to lead you astray. If you are born again, if you know that your sins have been paid for by the body in the blood of Jesus Christ, who came and lived a perfect life and died for you, and you have accepted that payment for your sins, you are born again and you are set free, and there is no demon that can ever take that from you in your life. However, if we pay attention to the things that they are trying to lead us toward, they can make us ineffective in our walk. They can compromise the truth of the word in our lives. They can compromise our witness in this world. And they can make us ineffective as soul winners. So we have to be careful about that. In 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So what's going on here? We've got people who are listening to deceiving spirits, paying attention to doctrines of demons. Why? Because they're not testing it by the word of God. They're not holding tight to the word of God, whereby they can test the spirits to see if it is actually from God or not. So in our lives, all spiritual communication, all spiritual experience, all spiritual knowledge has to be filtered through the word of God. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit in John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So the Spirit's job is to guide us into the truth. Then in John 17:17, Jesus prayed for his disciples and even mentioned each one of us by name. He says, all will who will believe after them. He prays for us and says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And then, of course, we know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in the beginning of the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the word became flesh and it dwelt among us. And so we know, you know, it's just this circle of Jesus, the word, and truth. They're all one. And the Spirit's job is to lead us into that. The Spirit's job is to lead us into all truth. And we also have to remember, too, that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. So if we're expecting any type of deceiving doctrine or, you know, deceiving spirit or doctrines of demons to come in the form of some ugly, satanic, fire-breathing beast, we could be easily deceived because that's not typically how he appears to people. Satan's been around for a long time. He's seen a lot of people. Most of us people, although we like to claim how unique and different we are, we're kind of the same. And Satan knows what works on people. And so he knows that if he appears in a room as this ugly, crazy beast, that people are going to be like, ah, get away in the name of Jesus. And so he doesn't appear like that. He appears seductive, beautiful, angelic. And so many people, because they're not testing it against the word of truth, are deceived by it. I fully believe that both Muhammad and Joseph Smith actually saw angels when the angels appeared to them and said, hey, I've got a book for you to write. Here, I'm going to tell you what to write. I believe that they saw angels. Unfortunately, they didn't test it against the word of God, so they were not the kind of angels that they thought they were. And so don't be deceived by that. Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And I've also talked with people who claim to have a peace from God regarding, you know, whether it be sleeping with their boyfriend or girlfriend, living together before they're married, even like gay people in their relationships who have claimed, I have a peace from God about this. God has said it's okay. He's given me a pass on this. However, if it contradicts his word, it's not from him. You may have a peace about it. I'm not going to argue that. I can't tell somebody if they have peace about something or not. I can just tell you that the peace doesn't come from God because God would not contradict his word. He doesn't give, you know, just exceptions to some people just because, you look good to me. Go ahead. Knock yourself. That doesn't happen. God doesn't do that. And he doesn't forget what he said in his word. His word is eternal. And so it can be easy for young believers, whether they're young in age or not, but young believers who maybe haven't had any real spiritual experiences with the Lord, to latch onto something that they've seen or heard just because it came supernaturally. And that's exactly why John is warning the believers here. Demons are real and they want to deceive us. So we need to be on guard from that. And so he says, he gives us a test. This is how you know the Spirit of God. And thankfully, when the Bible was penned, we're given a way to know the difference between the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. Can you imagine if he didn't, where the Bible just says, be warned, there are deceiving spirits out there who want you to go to hell. They want to deceive you in every way possible. They want to drag you down to the depths. And you're like, oh, no. How do I combat this? How do I defend against this? I don't know. Good luck. I mean, I really hope you do well out there, but I don't know. The word gives us the prescription here, and it's a very simple test. Does that spirit confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? That yes, he came down as a man in human form and in walk this earth in perfection and laid his life down as a sacrifice for us. Yes. Does the spirit that's communicating to us, does it confess that? And we have to remember, when we went through 1 John 1:9, where it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We studied that word confess. It means homo, the word is in Greek, homologeo. And it means to say the same thing as someone else. In this case, it means that we have to say the same thing as God about who Jesus is. God has given us his word, his testimony, and whatever spirit we listen to has to agree with him. John chapter 5, verses 36 to 37, Jesus told us, I have a greater testimony than John, speaking of John the Baptist, because of the works that the Father has given me to accomplish. These very works I am doing testify about me that the Father has sent me. The Father who has sent me has himself testified about me. So the God the Father has given his testimony about who his Son, Jesus Christ, is. And whatever spirit is out there, if it is of the Spirit of God, then it is going to testify this about Jesus. It is going to say that he has come in the flesh. And why John was writing specifically that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is because the church at that time was dealing with the Gnostic and Docetism heresies, where they would tell you that Jesus was never actually flesh. He was spirit only. And some went so far as to say that when he walked around, he never let footprints down. And it's just, which, you know, blows out of the water the whole footprints poem, because now there's no footprints on the ground. Like, come on. But that's garbage. Now, where does that heretical teaching lead? Well, they were saying, well, just because Jesus didn't have a physical body, you know, all physical matter is evil, so it doesn't matter what you do with your body. And so you can do anything you want. And it's okay. It's only the spirit that matters. So as long as you're honoring God in your spirit, it's all good. Do whatever you want. That's a heretical teaching that has led many, many, many astray. And so we reject that. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and we have to agree with what the Father has said about him. And this is really the easiest test that we can apply. Does it bring glory to Jesus Christ? Is it honoring God in spirit and in truth in accordance with his word? When this says that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, it indicates that he first came from the Father, just like he told us. This admits that he is the eternal God who has come in the flesh. And this does not just mean that the Spirit has to parrot these words. It's much deeper than that. It's talking about where they're leading with their influence and their words. Is it to the throne of God, or is it to some other place? So 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God can say Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. However, I believe that a demon can utter these words, but this verse isn't simply talking about forming words out of syllables. It's talking about speaking in truth. So I have a friend, Victor, who many, many years ago, I think it was 27, 28 years ago, he was at the Calvary Chapel Bible College in Millstadt, Austria. And this is a really, really long, really intense story. I mean, when he told it to me and another friend, we were hanging on to every word like, oh my goodness, this is so exciting. But what it was is there was a guy who in Austria who was the head of the satanic church there, or the satanic cult. And Victor had heard that this guy got saved, and so he just wanted to reach out to this guy and talk to this guy. And so he starts talking with him, and it becomes quickly apparent, this guy has a demon. He's not saved. And so they start with this whole exorcism, and like much of it seems like it's out of a movie or something like that, but the guy's eyes roll into the back of his head, another voice starts coming out of this man. And so one of the tests that they give is like, can you say Jesus is God? And the demon says, Jesus is God. And they go, really thought he wasn't going to be able to say that. So, but one of the young men there says, say Jesus is my God. And the demon started to say Jesus is, and couldn't form the words, couldn't get it out. And so you see the difference there in just being able to parrot some words or some, because demons know Jesus is God. They can easily say that, but they can't say Jesus is Lord and I confess him as Lord. Big difference there. And so he says that this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Anything that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, anything that does not testify that Jesus is God, is the spirit of Antichrist. And when we hear the word Antichrist, often we're going to think of this beast in Revelation, or you know, the little horn in Daniel, the epitome of wickedness. And although the Antichrist is definitely wicked and a major part of God's plan in the events of Daniel and the book of Revelation, the spirit of Antichrist is far more reaching than that. And so this preposition anti in Antichrist can mean against, over, in opposition to, which that's what we normally think of when we think of Antichrist, this terrible man who is opposed to Jesus in everything that he does. But it can also mean instead of or in place of something. And so the spirit of Antichrist has been around since the birth of Christ and really since the beginning of time. And it's the same spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. And it's everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It's the same spirit that says, you don't need the invisible almighty God. You need this golden calf that you can see, that you can touch, that you can worship because it's right in front of you. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Or you don't need Jesus. You simply need this powerful leader here, that he's going to fix all the problems of the world. He's going to fix our nation. He's going to fix the whole world. We just simply need this person. It's the spirit of Antichrist, if it's leading us away from Jesus. And though Antichrist as a person will come and fulfill what God has written of him in the word, the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well, and it's the spirit that opposes Jesus and offers anything else in place of worship to him. Let's continue in verse 4. It says, you are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. So this first part, what an encouragement. You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them. These demons out there, these evil spirits, the even the people who represent them, we, in the name of Jesus, have conquered them. We don't have to fear them. They are defeated foes. And as long as we remember who we belong to, then there's nothing to fear, because we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In John 16, 33, Jesus tells us, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. He promises you will have suffering in this world. But be courageous. I have conquered the world. So that's the key that we have to remember. Jesus has conquered the world. We're never going to find a place in the Bible that says, you can do it because you're awesome. God thinks you're the best and everybody loves you. And so because of that, you're going to accomplish great things. That's not it. We can only accomplish great things through the Spirit who has conquered and he has been given to us. That's how we do this, is through him, not through us just being the best. Colossians 3:3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And so when our lives are hidden with Christ, you know, there's nothing that can get at us that doesn't first pass through Christ. You know, there's no demon, deceiving spirit, no any people who are trying to tear us down and pull us away from God that has not already passed through the loving hands of our Savior. Yes, God allows trials in our lives. Yes, God allows tests to come upon us, but every single one of them has passed through him first before it gets to us. And let's keep in mind, though, once again, that the power and the victory is only through our connection with Christ. As he told us in John 15, without him, we can do nothing. Then he adds there, they are from the world, and what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. So we shouldn't be surprised when we hear of some of the things being said out in the world, when we see some of the things that are being done out in the world, even though it just blows our minds to think of, like, how could this even be happening? We shouldn't be surprised, because it's those who are filled with the spirit of the wicked one will cling to the things that are promoting the agenda of the wicked one. And I think we've reached a time in history where we can stop being surprised when we see some of the stuff that's going on in the world. I've tried very unsuccessfully to stop using the word unbelievable when I see some of these things, because, you know, I just remember, like, there was just a time where, man, it was like every week there's something new, and I'm like, unbelievable. And then I go, wait a minute, it's totally believable. Because we know that just as the Spirit of God is working in this world, that the spirit of the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan, now works in the sons of disobedience. So he is working in this world as hard as he can. And this is why we can have such contradictory ideas like trans people for Palestine. They don't realize that Hamas would publicly execute anyone who identifies as trans, but they're coming out in support because the same one who works in them works in Hamas. And so these things at the surface, you're like, don't you see the contradiction here? And it's like, but they don't care, because they're just believing everything that they're being fed. And then he goes from there and says, we are from God, and anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. So John is speaking with the authority that Jesus himself had when he was on the earth physically. And he had given this authority to John and to the other apostles. And yet John knew, yeah, I've got apostolic authority. And yet he knew that the only authority he had was because Jesus had given that to him. And you and I, it's not limited to pastors or clergy or deacons or ministry leaders or anything like that. It's given to each and every one of us who receives Jesus that we have that authority of God himself to preach his word to those who need it. And who needs it? Everyone. And so we have that authority, and anyone who is of God listens to us, it says. And again, anyone who is of God listens to us, not about our opinions, about when we stand on the truth of the Word of God, when we're preaching the unadulterated truth of the gospel, that anyone who is of God will hear us. It will resound with them. And at the same time, we should not be surprised when we try to show people in the world the love of Jesus and they don't receive it. We're told plainly here that if someone is not of God, or at least being drawn by the Father, they will not listen. There's many people out there in the world who are not saved, they're not of God, and yet the Father is drawing them, and so they will be open to hearing the message of the truth of the gospel. But when somebody who has hardened their heart against the gospel, who has completely rejected Christ in their heart and mind, they will not receive the truth of the word, no matter how sweet you are, no matter how perfectly you put together the gospel presentation. I don't know about you guys, but there's been times where I have tried to witness to somebody and they don't receive, and I'm walking away like, man, if I was smarter, if I could just put together a better gospel presentation, man, that person would have gotten saved. But the truth of the matter is, most of the time, it's not about how I presented it. I probably presented it most times perfectly, and yet they didn't receive it because they didn't want to receive it. And the danger is to try to compromise the message, because if we compromise the message just so that you can have agreement and peace, then that's not the right thing. That's the wrong thing to say. And so we have to stand, you know, as what is sometimes is antagonistic toward people, but the truth of the word of preaching about sin and repentance and heaven and hell, those are hard topics to swallow, especially if you're on the wrong side of the story. And so it requires conviction. It requires repentance. And so we can't compromise the message of the gospel just to have peace and to pretend like we, oh, I got a conversion. Somebody said yes to Jesus. It's not the right Jesus, but at least they said yes. No, we can't do that. And so in closing, John says that this is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. So the spirit of truth will pass the test of the word of God. The spirit of deception will not. And this might be an oversimplification, but the heart of the exhortation from this passage is stick to the word of God. Every single one of us can read the word of God. If you can't read, you can listen. I mean, God has given his word to each and every one of us. It changed my life. And I was raised in church. I was raised with religion. My life never changed until I started reading the word with purpose for the first time. And I encourage you guys to anything that's being brought to you, test it by the word of God. Make sure that it lines up. And if it doesn't, get rid of it. Toss it out of your life because you don't need it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have given us a way to defend ourselves from this spirit of error, this deception. Lord, we know that there's demons out there who, God, if we're just simply us alone in our flesh, they're far more powerful than us. But Lord, we know that through you, we have overcome them and we do not have to fear. And so God, I just pray that you would give us wisdom as we walk in this world. Lord, that we would have fellowship, that we would not despise prophecies, but at the same time, Lord, that we would test all things, that you would be the one to determine right and wrong in our hearts and in our lives. God, lead us in your ways, lead us in your truth. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.